listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, microphone check 1 2. What is this? The 5 foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity, got more rhymes than the winest got family. No need to try sweat or send a yo the gangster type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles upon styles is what I have. You wanted this, the fifer, but you still don't know the half. I sport New Balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Mess around with this, you catch the size of this. I never half step cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special ed, so won't you suckle with the mission. I never walk the streets think it's all about me, even though deep in my heart it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say, yo, shorty black, you bugging out. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasting. Mm-hmm. It's our last regular show for the week. Premium people will be back with pregame at Balls Deep Thursday instead of Wednesday. We're gonna do a Thursday night. Yeah, premium people, y'all get a couple things. Freeloaders will see you Saturday, okay, for the feedback
see
show
Saturday.
And I just want to program a note. We are anticipating taking the first week of July off for July 4th because we are American patriots, okay? And we have to make sure that we go out in the world and make America great again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. As long as they're nice, we'll read them on the air. We appreciate everybody takes the time out for that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and an unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Go sign up theblackguywhotips.com/premium. You can go and become a premium listener. It helps us, it funds us, it feeds us, it keeps the rent off of our ass, okay? It's y'all that make it so that we can have a nice life. And in addition to that, you get something for it. We're not just begging. Mm-hmm. We're not just saying, hey, we doing all this work, y'all give us some money. No. You get something for it. You get more than I guarantee you get with any other premium podcast out there in the game. We're talking about a myriad of shows, guys, okay? Balls Deep Sports, the pregame, I mean, every week we're coming through talking just like it's a lot of times people say, like, what other TV shows do you watch? Why don't you talk about them on the show? I normally talk about them with Justin. If y'all Karen's do. Here, we talk about it. But, you know, I watch Pose. We talk about what we think about Pose. I watch The Shy. We talk about The Shy. You know, a bunch of other stuff, too. Like,
documentaries.
Yeah, Yonla, Fix My Life, Love and Hip Hop, you know. So we talk that shit. We just talk it over there. And then we talk also YMCA basketball stuff and, like, you know, hanging out stuff. People we know, friends. It's just a little gossip sesh. And then also we talk sports after that. We do Balls Deep Sports immediately afterwards. It's normally like a 4-hour block. Okay. So pregame, then Balls Deep Sports. And our sports show, I will put it up against anybody's sports show, man, cause we talk about all the stuff that,
nobody else is talking about.
Yeah. We talk about it differently. You know, we talk about it, like, we also talk about stuff that don't, yeah, like the, we'll talk about Tristan Thompson and, Khloe Kardashian because that's a sports story to us. We'll talk about you know,
anybody baby's mamas.
Yeah, we talk about who got somebody pregnant and, you know, what's going on Kyrie Irving's Instagram. Like, we talk about those things,
yeah,
over there.
And there are people that don't know anything about sports
that love that show.
Fuck athletics.
Of course, we have our movie review show, Sport Movie Reviews. You guys should know about that. Every week we have new movie reviews coming out. We have The Nerd Off every 2 weeks. We talk about nerd stuff. You know, any Lip Smacking Good, which we're behind on, but we got a plan to get back up on that, which
yep.
is our food show. So it's all kinds of stuff behind that paywall, man. So yeah, and in addition to supporting us, you will get way more content than you'll ever be able to catch up with.
Ain't that the truth?
We even review Fear the Walking Dead behind the paywall.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
and shout out to the handful of us that's still listening.
Yeah, so theblackouttips.com/premium, it'll walk you through it. If you have any issues, email me theblackouttips@gmail.
I meant watching, not listening. Watching Fear the Walking Dead.
All right, I did want to throw out a couple random thoughts. That this shouldn't take long. It's very quick.
Okay, I got one too.
Okay, Karen, go ahead.
Oh, mine is short.
I was at my desk at work, and by accident I had put some paper on my keyboard and I hit some hotkeys. And for those of you that are like, what the fuck are hotkeys? Hotkeys are like special commands that you automatically give the computer. Most people that do IT stuff, they know what all the hotkeys are. Most, I don't know nothing about hotkeys. I know some of them, but I don't know, you know, enough of them. And so I guess my paper messed around and hit a series of keys, and I didn't know what it hit. So now all of a sudden my screen changes, my menu changes. I can only work with one thing at a time. Like it just fucked my whole monitor up. I didn't know what was happening. So I finally did like a IT help desk. Got the IT help desk to department. So the person that was doing it, he did the thing where they do like the remote, where they actually, you know, remotely look and see, and he was stumped. I don't know what you did. I was like, I don't know. All I know was the keys was hot and I hit them. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what happened or what I hit, and my screen changed. That's all I can tell you right now. And I know somebody like me is probably frustrated, somebody like IT. All I can know is it just don't look right. And so we was baffled and we was confused and stuff like that. And so while we was talking, I told him, I said, well, it kind of looked like it doing my tablet. I said, because when you have a tablet, it's like one screen at a time, da 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 da. And so, because, you know, when he came out, he was like, did you try this? Did you try that? One rule of thumbs that I always have for myself, and is normally foolproof except for this time. If you're looking at your screen and your screen fuck up and you don't know how to reset it, go to view. View is looking. So I go to view and I normally point click or whatever. And that's most of the time that fixes most of my issues. And so, we went back and forth and he couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out. So then when I said that, it's a on the new versions of I don't know is it Windows or what is this program we got right here? Oh yeah, it is Windows. They have a tablet button. So he hit the tablet button. I didn't know it was there. And when he hit the tablet button, it took it out of that mode. I'm not on a tablet. Why do you have a tablet option? The fuck is this? It made me mad. I was confused. Made me mad. Tied up my time at work, and all I had to do was click a goddamn button to fix the problem that I caused. I didn't know.
All right. I don't have anything to add to that one. I don't
but
know.
But my random thought is, why the fuck you got a tablet button on a laptop? That's the question.
It's a laptop?
I mean, no, why do you have a tablet button on a PC?
Okay, so it's a desktop.
Yes, I'm on the desktop. I'm on a computer.
I guess if
desktop.
You had a monitor that was a touchscreen, maybe you could turn it into a tablet mode. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that's very frustrating, and probably nobody ever does that, really. You know, but you do have a way with technology.
I do.
Doing stuff that nobody's ever done.
I climbed it. You know, and that's what's so funny about me. A lot of times, and I always laugh with the IT, because the person that helped me wasn't a normal IT person. He was like somebody that was like substituting in. So he was like, I know when the other IT people get here, I know they're gonna laugh at me when they figure it out. And he had to come by the next day. He laughed. He said, yeah. He's like, it was simple. I was like, well, when you don't know shit, you don't know. And I think that because now when they do programs for like Windows and some of these other programs, they want to make it where you can use it on a PC or a laptop. So they try to make it where it's more versatile versus kind of having everything have its own version of it. They kind of want to make it where it can, they can only, you know, have one program across multiple platforms. That's fine. But what's fucked up is that if you do something and you don't know what you're doing, then you're lost and confused and you don't know how to correct it.
Yeah, it's always weird when you stump the IT person, like, they don't know what they're doing, because, you know, for me, it's like a deep level of shame, because, like, what I did was so fucked up and not normal that they were like, nobody is this dumb. Like, you the dumbest person on the earth, right? You the dumbest person in the building. Thanks for fucking it all up, Rod. Appreciate you.
No,
I guess I gotta actually, like, do some work today.
And figure some shit out. And because he was like, well, it was very helpful because I know if I ever run into the situation again, I know how to correct it.
Yeah, that's what they say to make you feel good, because I know you probably apologized 100 times.
You know I did.
Yeah, I mean, I know how it is.
When I didn't know.
With me, I normally, the reason that IT people might have an issue that they have to ever come to my desk is always because I have done all the regular troubleshooting before they come over there. I don't have them come over before door troubleshooting. So if they come over, I have already turned my computer on and off. I've already reset it. I've already, you know, Googled on my phone, like, what, you know, hey, my computer is doing blank. What are some solutions? I've done all that shit. And then they come over there and it's frustrating because I have to watch them go through everything I already did and right. It never works. And then they eventually get to like the level I'm at where I'm like, yeah, what is the fucking problem? I'm good with computers. This, you know, why is this happening, you know?
And one thing, I will give myself credit, because I did Google, but that wasn't helping. I did YouTube, and that wasn't helping. And I was actually doing some of the stuff. I was like, well, that's not fixing the problem, so I don't know what's happening.
It also depends. It's also weird, because it depends on what you Google and what you YouTube.
Right. I didn't know what to Google, which was the problem.
Right. And like today at home, you know, I had a similar issue, not with the IT thing, but for the longest time I have been like cleaning out our dishwasher. We use it all the time, but I don't know how to clean a dishwasher. Like, I don't know if you're supposed to like take it apart, any of this shit. And sometimes like the dishes won't be all the way clean, so then I'll have to wash them again by hand, or have to run them through multiple times.
Right.
Or what I like to do is I take the dishwasher, there's these like spinny things in there that look like I call them blades, dishwasher blades. I took them out. You can take them out and then you can like run wire or poke like a toothpick thing into these holes, mm-hmm. because sometimes food gets stuck in there and the holes stop working, right?
Correct.
And it leads to the dishes not being all the way clean. So, you know, I've done that before and it's fucking annoying.
Yes, it
and
is.
I've always feel like why should I have to do this so often? So finally I just Googled how to do it, and I just took some time and went to the YouTube tutorials, and you know, I found out that like if food is stuck in there, you can like run some hot water in the sink or something and pour some vinegar in there, let the stuff sink in there, it'll dissolve some of the food particles. You can also take, there's a thing at the bottom where you can take out like this what is it called, filter. You can take it out and it's at the bottom and it's two pieces. You can also wash that, and I mean, I don't know if they had ever washed that thing when we got it or whatever, but probably it was not. Filthy. So,
I guarantee you they didn't.
Right. So I cleaned the shit out of that with a toothbrush and all these like vinegar and all this shit.
I bet it's gonna purr like a kitten now.
And then I ran some vinegar through after I cleaned all the components. Oh, and that was the thing. What I Googled was like, you know, dishwasher spinning arms, you know, whatever. until I figured out like, oh, it's called a sprayer. Something sprayer. So
okay.
I was like, oh, okay, so that's what it's called. Okay. You know, cause when you Googling shit, you know, we all know, we all do this. Like Google is the new, like, I don't know what I remember.
Right.
So I'm, you know, what's the guy, what's the black actor with the face, you know?
And Google is like, is this what you're talking
about? Yeah. And a lot of times it'd be right, cause the algorithm is like enough people
have
Googled
asked that question.
This weird shit and came to this person. It's like, you know, black singer with the scars, like Seal. Okay,
right.
Cool. Yeah, I Googled it and I learned how to clean the dishwasher that today. But yeah, it took me a while because I had to figure out the right thing to Google, because everything I was Googling was giving me something else. It was like, it's the this is how you clean the filter. Okay, this is how you take a dishwasher apart. Like
right.
All that type of shit. So yeah, you know, you just gotta experiment a little bit, get lucky. I only had two random thoughts. The first one is just a shout out to anime intro songs, cause they normally be long enough for me to get clothes out the dryer or take stuff out the washing machine
whole show. You normally have like you get a good orchestra going on in the background and a good breakdown and shit. Yeah,
I just like a good anime, like I don't know why, but almost all anime intro songs for some reason are like 2-3 minutes. I don't know who decided this.
Yeah, some of them are really smooth fast.
Yeah, like of course you can skip it on certain things, you know, Netflix and whatnot, but a lot of times I don't skip them because it's like oh yeah, cool, I'm gonna take a leak. So shout out to them. And then the second thing is, I'm now old enough that when I rewatch Friday, I empathize with Stanley trying to protect his grass from being trampled on by Smokey and Craig.
Come on, get out of my fucking grass.
Man, I came full circle on that shit, because when I first saw Friday, I said, man, fuck Stanley, old sellout ass coon. Man, now look at this shit. I'm like, yo, these niggas was walking over his grass.
All that fucking hard work, fertilizer and shit you got to put down.
Mm-mm. And breaking in his house. Like, of course Stanley was mad. I'm with Stanley.
I'd be mad too.
Friday too should have just been Stanley being like, how I'm gonna get these niggas back? Like, I'm like putting this house up for sale or something. Like, these niggas was fucking up his property value and had the nerve to be breaking in his house and taking shit. Like, and then the movie played it like he was the asshole. Like, oh, look at this jerk. Stay off my freaking grass. Oh, look at this asshole. I'm like, he the only dude that didn't cuss. At least he warned. He could have came out the house with a 44 and been like, I told you motherfuckers to stay off my grass.
Come on, I meant it.
Stanley just trying to go to work and have a life.
That's it.
That's it. Didn't even have a white woman in the movie, so you can't even accuse him of being some type of coon or whatever. Like, Stanley was a good dude. He just wanted
to live a normal life.
Poor Stanley, man. Mm-mm-mm. Justice for Stanley, I say. All right, let's get to news, guys. Got a few things that made the news. Chicago PD is putting the full court press on motherfucking Jussie Smollett.
Why are they wasting taxpayers' money?
They have put all the tea out on him. The latest thing is they released footage of the moments that the brothers Abel and Olo Osundero were driven to the scene of the stage attack in a taxi, because there's a video footage of it, and it shows them with the hoodies on, putting on the mask, silently sitting in the back of the car wearing hoodies that cover most of their faces, and one is already wearing a ski mask using the attack. And I can't front, y'all, it makes me go back to the first thing that I asked when, you know, the plan started falling apart. Mm-hmm. This is a dumbass plan, man. This, who thought of this? This is the footage, if you guys can see it in the chat.
That shit is clear.
It's clear as fuck. But when I say who thought of this, you do realize taking a taxi up there, whatever you took, means you're probably going to, that's another witness. That's another person that saw you get driven to the spot around where the attack was going to occur. Like, this is a dumbass plan. And I know his thing is gonna be, oh, they just beat me up for no reason, but it's like, why the fuck are they finding you at the spot that y'all went to together the day before, which they have footage of that, the spot that y'all went to before, why are they finding you the next day at 3 a.m. at the same fucking spot, man? Come on, dog. I'm not stupid, and nobody has to be stupid. Like, it doesn't make you more pro-gay to be like, I'ma just believe this nigga even though I know he full of shit. Like, no, man, stop pandering and be real. This nigga lied, yo. And this, and I know why they're mad, because they want us all to be like, yeah, he lied, we're incensed, we're outraged. And white people, I'm sure, are fake outraged about this, and,
right, because they really don't give a shit,
right? The police are fake outraged, but it's really guilt that is speaking for them. It's people that go, well, when white people do racist shit, y'all don't just let it go. It's like, because y'all always doing it, you know. It's not, you know, it's kind of the OJ effect. Not saying it's up to murder, but like, well, we're like, well, it does always go 100% the other way. Maybe one time this way we can just overlook it,
right? And, you know, fair, right, wrong, or right or wrong, a lot of people go, fuck it. Yeah, he did something. Yeah, he lied, but I actually don't care.
Yeah, Miss Smart called it season 2. Yeah, it's season 2. Special prosecutor. They putting all the footage out. They also have footage of him with the quote unquote noose around his neck. They also have all the text messages that he had, some of them being sexual in nature and all this stuff between him and the one of the twins. Like,
and then,
they're just throwing everything at the wall to basically get this dude up out the paint.
Yeah, and then people wonder why he was like, no, you can't have my fucking phone.
Yeah, well, I mean also because he did the shit too. Yeah,
but it's also one of those things where isn't this maybe I'm wrong, but shouldn't this shit stay behind the books? Like, why are you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, it's, you know what, Karen? For me, it's just complicated because I want to just be like, yeah, you couldn't touch the police to keep it a secret, but he also was, there was a reason he wanted to keep it secret, and it's not correct. His privacy. So
agreed.
It's a catch 22.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's not like when Nelly was accused of sexual assault by that woman, and then the police leaked her information, like her information got leaked and it was only the police that knew. So it was like, how the fuck this information get out? And the police had to be like, well, yeah, well, it must have been our fault. And she ended up dropping, I think, the criminal case because of that. She's like, I can't trust y'all. This isn't that, because this nigga did it.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, this is just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I just think they should let it go, but they can't because he made a mockery out of them. And this, you know, I know how
they
feel.
What are you going to do today? I wonder what he's gonna do tomorrow. This guy just pissing. He's pissing all over us. He's pissing on you. What does it taste like? Chief, what does it taste like? Because you know what? It tastes like piss to me.
I'm sure that's how they feel. They like,
because the thing is, y'all could have charged him with something, but you tried to fucking throw the book at him, and that was the goddamn problem.
It's more about the fact that they're embarrassed now.
Right.
I mean, he framed a guilty police department. Y'all are a racist to the police department, so.
And
racist the police department will act this way.
Right, I'm about to say, and you actually proven this motherfucking point.
Right, so.
By not letting it go.
Robocall crackdown. The FTC blocks more than a billion illegal calls, but the problem festers. If your phone rings once and then stops and you don't know the number in the first place, don't call back. The Federal Communications Commission recently warned customers it's part of the One Ring robocall scheme, Buzz 60.
What the hell is that?
The Federal Trade Commission said Tuesday that it had blocked more than a billion illegal robocalls in a crackdown coordinated with the U.S. Justice Department, as well as state and local law enforcement agencies. The agencies collectively took 94 actions against robocallers touting bogus services such as credit card interest rate reduction and medical alerts. The actions included 7 new FTC cases, including 4 settlements. Consumers get tens of billions of robocalls annually.
It's fucking annoying.
Yeah. I was looking into some information for health insurance alternatives for me and Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to look into like what happens when we go into business for ourselves.
Right.
When Karen becomes completely full time with the show, like how are we going to handle this? Right.
Correct.
So it's like, you know, and it's honestly scary. It's a scary time because we're dealing with Trump in office, and it feels like the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, they're trying to find ways to gut it every fucking year.
Right.
And so it's just not written in stone that these options will even be available or there for you or whatever. So, you know, I'm doing my research and I'm like, all right, cool. Let me put my little information in. And I got so many robocalls because I think I put my information into like an ad site instead of like a,
yeah,
like instead of the official site or something.
Correct.
Because the first thing that comes up when you Google it is like an ad, and right. I just click on the first thing and start putting my information. Then I'm like, wait, why am I getting so many fucking calls? And I had to block all these numbers, tell them take me off the list, tell them I, you know, and then the other thing is we didn't really qualify for anything because you would need to be making a change within the next 2 months in order mm-hmm. to qualify, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it was just, you know, then open enrollment isn't until like November when you can like actually look at the site and see like what the prices are. So it was just like they had been calling me for like a week straight. Every 10-15 minutes. One person I asked her, can you just take me off the list? And that, like, I, cause she had called me so many times. And she was like, well, sir, I just have some options here. I said, ma'am, please just take me off the list. Sir, but I think I can save some money on health insurance. I said, ma'am, I don't want health insurance right now. I just need you to take me off this list. Okay, sir, but if we got, I hung up cause I was like, they're not even trying. And that's just the health insurance thing. I don't answer spam calls. I have that call, the whatever that thing is called on my phone that tells me like spam alert. This is spam. Or this is who this number is supposed to be.
I think AT&T does something new now. Where now when my phone rings, it actually pop up telemarketer. Like the number won't even
they,
pop up.
Yeah, they give it to you free now.
Okay.
Yeah, I had
like,
downloaded
that's new.
Yeah, I downloaded the app, I can actually tell y'all what it's called. Truecaller is the name of the app, but now it comes free with AT&T. But the point is, man, and no, I wasn't talking to a robot, Huey. It was a woman, dog. It was so,
that's like,
cause I kept thinking like, oh, it's not. And then she would, like, she was listening to what I was saying and being like, nah. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who does this? It's like, they're just like, I'm going to intimidate you into signing up for some bullshit. Anyway, my point being, this has become such a problem that this should be something that no matter your political orientation, you should be able to agree that these goddamn spam calls out of control.
Motherfucking out of control. Like I said, it's done calmed down a little bit, but particularly I would be at work and my phone would literally ring like at least 2 to 3 times an hour from like the time I got to work till about 2 or 3. Like literally it was like ring 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 ring. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And particularly people who have jobs that they actually have to answer the phone, they have the biggest complaint because they're like, if I don't answer it, I could fucking lose money. And now I have to shift through this. And the way they do it, they call you in the morning, then they take breaks in the afternoon, and then they call you again starting like 5 or 6 o'clock to like 9 o'clock. The fuck is this?
Yep. The FTC filed a complaint in Florida federal court against First Choice Horizon LLC and 3 individuals working for the company for allegedly concocting a maze of operations to target callers, including many seniors. They allegedly offered dubious credit card interest rate reduction services. The FTC is seeking a temporary restraining order, asset freeze, and appointment of a receiver.
And somebody brought a good point. They starting to do text messages too. Cause yep. All of a sudden I'm like, the fuck is this? Who is this? And I just delete them. Yeah. But yeah, you also get random texts, and it's almost like the way they respond, and it's almost like they know you, like they're phrasing or something. I was like, I don't know who this person is, because y'all know I'm black, so if I don't got your name and your picture, I don't respond. Who is you? I don't respond to you. I got some friends, we almost didn't talk no more because their numbers changed, and I'm like, bitch, leave a message or else we won't never talk again.
Yeah. So yeah, I hate that shit, man. And then you know, people that are premium already heard the episode, but during the last Balls Deep, I got a robocall, not a robocall, I got a call from somebody who actually spoofed my bank.
Right.
And called me and was like, sir, you got some fraud on your account and shit. And long story short, they got, money out of my account. And then I had to like go to the bank branch and start a new account, change all my passwords, username. They had been somehow was able to log into my bank account online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they had information about like my account number, all this stuff.
The balances.
Yeah. To like trick me into being like, well, here's my, you know, here's the other information or whatever.
And they real smooth.
And you're like, they could have worked there. You know what I mean? Like they could have worked for the bank. And when we went into the bank, to talk about it, they was like, oh, this has been happening for the last 2 weeks. It's heavy in Atlanta and Florida, and like it's like we've been getting so many of these cases that, you know, normally when somebody does something with your bank account, it could take like weeks to get your money back. Mm-hmm. Like you have to file these reports. Yeah. they have to do these fraud claims.
They're a lot quicker now.
We got our, well, not, no, it's not that they're a lot quicker. We got our money back within a couple of days because it's happening to so many people.
Right. Okay. So yes.
It was just that, but instead of them being like, let's painstakingly investigate this fraud, they was like, well, shit, it's happening. Everybody can't be doing the same like scam this week. Somebody is scamming people, you know? So, with these robocalls, the spoofing, it seemed like something that should be illegal. It seemed like the technology should already be able to like, separated and be like, no, right. This is not this phone number. You cannot call somebody from the BB&T phone number, you know? So it's, but that's the thing, you know, like, there's so many ways to get scammed now, and our phones are a huge part of our lives. And so if you can kind of like trick a person, get access to call people, and our fucking government is doing nothing about it.
Nothing,
as Karen says. If they're doing nothing about it, then what the fuck are we, you know, like, you're putting a lot of people out here to lambs of slaughter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I was able to get our money back. I don't know what the fuck I would have did if it would have been like, well, now you gotta wait 3 weeks until you get your money back. It's like, you know, it's so ridiculous. Like, how are they even able to do that in the first place?
Yes, and my thing, I mean, I just talked about it. The credit card company with your credit, it's like a credit. It's not actually cash. credit card company be like, bitch denied. Did you purchase something from such a credit card company to be on that shit? They be like, we see suspicious action. Are you in this location? Please confirm before we say yay or nay.
Master of Mary Jane, University of Maryland offers curious new course. The University of Maryland is gonna launch the first master program to train students about the science and policies of medical marijuana. Students will be able to take the 2-year course based on the universities at Shady Grove and Rockville, and based at that university. And the school is designed for healthcare practitioners, scientists, regulators, dispensary owners, and industry professionals. It's unclear if the classes will instruct students how to properly grow joints, dig out blunts, the pros and cons of glass pipe use, or how to grow the sweetest of the sativa, but they will be having classes in it. Free everybody.
One motherfucking hundred.
Free everybody.
Because people are locked up. And what's so fucked up, all jokes aside, y'all have people, okay, there's nothing wrong with people, you know, with degrees and shit like that, but I guarantee you there's people without degrees that actually probably know more about the product and how to do these things than these motherfuckers with these degrees. And so, you know, but them are not going to be the people you're going to be paying to teach the class, though, right? You're going to be paying somebody else.
Well, a lot of them in jail,
right?
How you going to pay them? Free everybody. It's bullshit,
right?
Like, I'm not upset that people are learning about marijuana and stuff, mm-hmm. but the shit is becoming so cute and fun
because white people doing it.
And you got niggas in jail over the shit. Like, free everybody. What the fuck is this shit? You know? Like, come get your degree in weed. Ha 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 ha. Weed clothes. CBD dispensaries.
Right, the nigga was like, I had a flake and got 10 fucking years. The fuck out my face.
Yeah. Free everybody. Like, the fuck is this shit, man? It's like, I don't care that they're having a class, but it's kind of ridiculous.
It's a smack in the face to the families that have been destroyed over this.
Right. Of course, it's graduation time of the year, so people have been giving their speeches as valedictorians and stuff. We saw one last week where a woman tried to shout out Tamir Rice, and it got a little too much, and her mic got cut off. Mm-hmm. Well, a high school valedictorian gave another speech that was a little controversial, Karen.
Friends, staff, and class of 2019. It's a pleasure to speak here to you today. I'd like to give recognition to those who have greatly influenced me during the past 4 years.
Sorry, making it bigger on my screen. Which, of course, means I had to pause to think.
To my mother and father, you are the most hardworking and caring people that I know.
So far, so good.
Especially in this past year, with all the craziness of applying to colleges and coming closer to adulthood, you have been wonderful mentors and role models. Thank you for your endless love and guidance. To the teachers, Madame Rosa, Miss Monaghan, Miss Gomez, Mr. Chiolino, Mr. Solomon, and Mr. Aleman, thank you for being so invested in your students' education and well-being. You are the most intelligent, inspiring, and supportive individuals I have had the pleasure of learning from while at SYHS.
Oh, that's so nice.
To my friends, thank you for always being by my side. I appreciate your love and support always, and will treasure the memories we made at this school. To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments. Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance.
Uh-oh.
And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian, when you had absolutely no role in my achievements.
Well, to the staff
in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly.
God damn.
Ooh,
okay, now
this
back
bitch
to that
is
one.
Shaking the table.
What? Didn't nobody expect this.
What happened? She didn't even change up cadence.
Because she got tired. Like, she was like, I hear despite y'all. And it's one of those things where you have a generation now. They was like, no, I'm not trying to be pretty. And I'm not trying to act like everything was smooth. So many people have to deal with this bullshit. But, you know, they go and they'll do the flowery speech. And she was like, I'm not doing the flowery speech because that's not the reality of it.
Damn. She reclaimed all her time.
Every second.
I don't even know what to say to that. That was, I mean, like, it started off so nice. Like, my hardworking parents and all the people that I love, my friends. And let me tell you about these raggedy bitches in the, God damn, it's not even done. There's still more to go, Karen.
Oh, she's still yanking wigs?
Yeah, still a little bit more on this. But I just don't know if we had the appropriate, okay. I think we can finish it now. That's how feels about right. Alright, let me get this.
I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach a sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year.
Oh!
Thank
not the
you
drunk.
For using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
God damn! God damn! Woo!
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck what? You!
You're cool!
You're cool! Fuck
who's
you!
Next? Get the fuck I'm out!
Right! She said, I have had enough of y'all motherfuckers!
God damn!
I will burn this bitch down!
Oh my
y'all
god!
Y'all should have never gave me the bike!
Oh my god, she got up there and fucking showed
and
out.
I guarantee you that's not what they approved.
Hey girl, I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
Oh my god, that's the worst
shot. Fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you. Who's next?
That's the worst. That might be the worst roasting I've heard in a long time since Jamie Foxx got that dude at that roast. Like, good grief,
she came with she was fed up, she was frustrated, and she was fed the fuck up.
She put the dick in valedictorian because she said, listen, y'all niggas try to fuck up my whole career,
right?
And
catch me outside, how about that,
on my last day. Okay,
and you know what, and I don't blame her. Telling me about scholarships the day before they do. It's like, y'all try to fuck me over. Are you serious?
Because you got to keep in mind, these are some type A personalities, these valedictorian type people. They are on their grind. So they're expecting all the people that's around them that are motivating them and telling them, like, be smart and do this. You can get
and
these opportunities.
Keeping them informed.
It's like, well, why the fuck aren't you working as hard as me to get me to fucking these schools you talking about?
Right, because they was like, y'all tell my ass to work. I'm motherfucking working. There ain't nobody working for me.
I did all the work myself. Fuck y'all.
And that was a whole thing. Particularly with her counselor. She was like, I shouldn't have to escalate nothing. You ain't been around, but yet you won't take credit because I was assigned to you. Like, where have you been? And not just funny, this, she probably been dealing with this since the 10th grade.
I bet. They should have known when she started off her, her speech.
First of all, bitch.
They should have known. I wonder what was that Indian principal that was cutting mics last week, because they needed him.
Yes, they did. They just let it talk. It was like,
if a nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy. You understand? Don't do. Don't do.
Cut me off.
Don't do. Don't cut me off.
I love when she got to the alcoholic teacher and it went from shock to motherfuckers clapping because the other students was like, yes, that drunk motherfucker, I hate that motherfucker too. Like, they was cheering.
Cook that nigga.
Oh, like, it ain't shit y'all can do about it, cause I'm out this bitch.
Oh my god, that is the best fucking thing.
I didn't even think about it till you said they, like, you, I didn't. Yeah, somebody like that, like you said, they have a type A personality most likely, which means they focus, they grind it, like, mm-hmm. they like, and nothing's going to stop me from my accomplishment. She was like, I did this despite y'all. And I could imagine her frustration and her mm-hmm. being upset
that
when
rage.
She lost scholarship money,
right.
people not helping her, people not doing their job. Like, she's like, bitch, I'm on it. Why ain't y'all?
She was like Dennis Scott talking to them children.
Not ask me for my autograph. Ask me to explain the rage that's inside of me.
Oh, but that rage was real.
Oh my god, that's my favorite. Afterwards, it was when they tried to hand her diploma and shake her hand, she probably was like,
bitch, get out of my face.
Oh man.
Oh, she was fed up.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love us.
Yep. Well, I don't even know she was black.
Oh,
I don't even know what race that woman was. I couldn't see her face on the camera. You know, she read that. She read them for filth. For damn. In today's "Who Died in the Dominican Republic?" an 11th American dies in the Dominican Republic while on vacation.
Are people not getting the memo? About that? Are people just not that? Just separated from the reality of, because like you said, you made Ron out of purpose. Like, I was even not even aware it was happening. Like,
well, let's think about it though. I mean, not to be cold, I mean, all these people died is terrible,
mm-hmm.
but like, what are the odds of it being you?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's only been 11. I know people like, I mean, it's supposed to be zero, I get it, but I mean, it's only like 11 out of the probably hundreds or thousands that come there every day. I mean, you got a small chance that you die. And I mean, them Priceline rates right now got to be the low. I mean, they probably paying you to come.
It is buy one, get one motherfucking free.
You know, I'm not, like I said, it's some hard calculus. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm gonna, yeah, if we had trips, I would like cancel them bitches. We ain't not going.
I mean, you know, I get it. I'm scared. I wouldn't go myself right now per se. But I mean, if I already had a trip planned, I could see being like, I'm not eating the cost of this motherfucking plane ticket and all this shit. So I guess I'm going. Try not to drink too much, out of the room or whatever. You know? So yeah, they average about 18 deaths a year out of 2 million. You know, they just going through a hot streak right now and just, you know, just rolling the dice. Karen's like hitting the lottery to die there. So.
Wrong type of lottery to hit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Vittorio Caruso, 56, originally lived in Long Island, but was visiting Boca Chica Resort in Santo Domingo when he ingested some beverage and eventually went into respiratory distress. A State Department spokesperson said Caruso's cause of death is unknown at this time. They'll report it as a paper cut next week, though. That's what they've been doing.
Right.
He just had a simultaneous heart attack with these other 11 people.
Oh, we're going to cremate him before we send him back to you. Bitch, what? No.
No, America's not in shape. So many folks won a lottery drawing that North Carolina staff says to expect lines to claim the prize. So the Carolina Pick 4 lottery drawing that happens all the time here.
Mm-hmm.
2014 people won.
Good God.
Matching all four numbers. Which, and it was amounts to $7.8 million in winnings, which is the biggest ever. $7.5 million was before in August 11, 2012, and that was when the numbers were 1111. The number that hit this time was 0000.
Are you fucking serious?
Yep.
Wow.
1,002 people bought a $1 ticket with the correct numbers, and they will win the game's $5,000 top prize. Another 1,012 people who bought winning 50-cent lottery tickets will get a $2,500 prize.
The lottery, off of 50 cent, you won.
Yep. The lottery said the odds are correctly matching all four numbers in a pick four drawing stand in at 1 in 10,000. Winners can claim their prize at any of the six lottery regional offices weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Due to the large number of winners, players should expect extended waiting times to complete their claims if they choose to visit a regional office on Monday and Tuesday, Saturday's news release explained. They have 6 months to claim their prize and must provide photo ID, proof of their social security number. Prizes also can be claimed by mail. So, yep, gotta go all the way to WT Harris in Charlotte. Stand in line, get you your money.
Woo! Oh, it's upside down.
That's crazy. That means people won. Let's see what else happened. A theft ring, also North Carolina, took $4 million in used cooking oil.
Used?
Yes.
So they're using the fish grease and chicken grease.
Used cooking oil is what they said. So I don't know which items were cooked in it, but apparently they got paid.
Is it that valuable? I mean, it's used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, federal agents say they have mopped up a theft ring involving 21 co-conspirators responsible for stealing a precious commodity, $3.9 million worth of used cooking oil known as yellow grease. The shit you put in a trap outside of Wendy's when you all used to work there?
What's special? I mean, can you turn it into gold? What the fuck? I don't understand.
Man, I used to hate that job, man. That part where they make you go put the fucking grease in the goddamn grease trap thing outside in the fucking middle of the hot ass day.
Oh, they saying in the chat room it's biodiesel and biofuel. You can turn it into fuel.
Well, apparently so. A federal indictment unsealed Thursday said that thieves targeted eateries in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia for 5 years, pumping used oil from restaurant storage tanks into trucks for shipment around the country. This oil is greasy gold for the biodiesel companies. U.S. Agricultural Department data shows a 100-pound load of yellow grease is worth $25. A statement from U.S. Attorney Robert Higdon Jr. says the oil rendering the industry loses between $45 million to $75 million to oil theft every year.
So are they like going back there, like hooking up to like the gas tank like they do, but like, I know where it is, let's hook and pump some of this shit out?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, and they actually pay companies to actually do this, like officially, but not them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm with you now.
All right. I had no idea it was that valuable.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they must have been living pretty large. $5 million worth of shit. I mean, I don't know how they were selling it. I mean, it sounded like you had to flip it somehow. So I don't know what they were doing to flip it, but
I guess it's a black market grease black market out there. I don't know.
Sounds like it. All right, let's see what else. Other news I want to talk about. Oh, Missouri denies license to last Planned Parenthood, and it could become the first state with no abortion clinic.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Now right now they're able to operate because basically the judge that originally ruled against them said that they can operate for like 2 weeks until he comes back with another decision, or however long it is until he comes back with his final decision. So there are abortion services right now, but you gotta remember, this is one place in all of a state.
The whole fucking state.
Right.
People have hours and days to get there.
Right. According to Kansas City Star, the decision came prior to the court hearing and was announced by a Planned Parenthood spokesperson. The outlet reported that the decision has no immediate impact because of an injunction that keeps the clinic open for now. Fox News reports that St. Louis Circuit Judge Michael Stelzer should be a man, judging on what women can do with their bodies, had told the state it can't let the license lapse but must either renew or deny and set a Friday deadline. Missouri's lawmakers are already making a case for not renewing the clinic's license, including claims that 3 failed abortions require additional surgeries and another led to life-threatening complications for the mother, according to a court filing. Wonder how true that is, because you can't trust any of these motherfucking
they
Republicans.
Make shit up.
They really be out here like, yeah, they took a whole baby out of a woman. The baby stood up and said, mama, and then they hit it with a sledgehammer.
Right.
That's just what they do. Governor Mike Parson signed legislation in May to ban abortions at or beyond 8 weeks of pregnancy with the exception of medical emergencies, but not for rape or incest, because they want to make all these things go to Supreme Court.
Of course.
Efforts to put the new law to a public vote are now tied up in the legal system. If this facility is closed, Missouri would be the first state without a functioning abortion clinic since 1974, which is the year, of course, of Roe v. Wade.
And you know what that means? Other states will follow.
Yep. Yep. That's what they're trying to do. The other surprise, abortion's gonna keep happening.
Yes, they are.
So
all you gonna do is have a repeat. The people gonna be losing their aunts and their mamas and their sisters and shit, because either legally or illegally, you gonna find women dead by people going to the black market. The shit's still gonna happen. You're not gonna make it go away,
right? Like, so many Republican solutions are like, and it'll just go away if we tell people no, people gonna feel a need to not have these fucking babies and shit, and they're not gonna have them. I mean, I don't know, I don't know what to tell you, but they not gonna have them, so you might as well let the shit go, dog. Like, you can't control this. This has been happening before there was a legal right to it. Like, it's crazy. Bill Cosby is giving lectures in prison on parenting, rehabilitation, and life. Bill Cosby is making the most of his time in prison by giving lectures to his fellow inmates and seemingly still trying to uphold his America's Dad role behind bars. He's really become a character actor at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am now Theo Huxtable. This is what I will be. I will be
you
doing.
You mean Heathcliff?
Yeah, Heathcliff, not Theo. Theo didn't do anything wrong in this case. Heathcliff Huxtable. I am now Cliff Huxtable. I will be doing my bid as Cliff Huxtable every day. I will get up like the fucking Prestige and just do this fucking act. According to Bill's rep, Andrew Wyatt, Cosby's pitch is that the inmates need to lead by example for their kids and stay out of the prison system in the future.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Nigga, you in jail.
You here with me.
The fuck are you talking about? You in here being a bad example. Yeah, y'all need to cut it out, dog. Y'all get crazy out there. Who are your kids going to look up to? Like, nigga, not you. We used to look up to you. That's why we in here. He mostly works with a group called Man Up, comprised of inmates who are set for parole, where he discusses life lessons, staying out of trouble, not getting locked up again through proper rehabilitation. Keep in mind, this is a man who still proclaims his innocence. So how the fuck he gonna tell you stop messing up? He basically giving a pound cake speech. He's giving the fucking pound cake speech in prison. And niggas do eat that up, because, you know, racism has fucked us up. And, you know, we do need, I mean, we do glom on to the, like, tough love stories and shit. But I just don't know how to fuck. I don't know how to fuck anyone's listening to him.
Not you, dog.
Like, he can't be Joe Clark. Of course, everybody remembers he had the Happy Father's Day tweet too. So I really think he's trying to just be Heathcliff Huxtable from behind bars, man.
And he is.
That's what's happening. I don't have anything else to add to that story. Mm-hmm. God damn.
100.
This motherfucker really. Oh man. What are you in for, son? Sexual assault. Oh, you can't be listening to these bitches, okay? When you get out,
they'll get you every time.
When you get out, make sure you get it in writing.
Make sure you have rape insurance.
Right. Never pay them off, okay? That's where you fucked up. Now pull your pants up after raping. Piece of shit. I wish this nigga would give me a speech. You serious? Who else is in jail giving? Is Robert Madoff in jail giving fiscal responsibility speeches?
Mm-mm.
Like, who else is in jail giving? Was OJ in there giving domestic violence speeches? Like, get the fuck out of here. No, you don't get to talk to anyone. Go directly to jail and shut the fuck up, man. Oh, man. Niggas probably asking for his autograph and shit.
You know they are.
Oh man, I loved you on the Cosby Show, man. It's like you was my dad. What the, can you sign this? Can you sign this autograph for me, please? Oh man. All right, last thing. Last regular story before we move on. A whole bunch of cocaine got found. 16.5 tons of cocaine got seized at the Philadelphia port, said the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I don't know nothing about the weight, but that sounds like a motherfucking lot.
16.5 tons?
Mm-hmm.
A ton is 2,000 pounds.
Good God.
More than $1 billion worth of cocaine was seized. Let me tell you something, man. I don't know how they found this cocaine. I mean, I'm guessing it was like a sophisticated bus where they knew where it was going.
Somebody had to tell them that that's all what they found is.
Cause I hate to be that guy, but if my job was Mr. Inspector guy at the container shop, at the container, port, and I opened up a goddamn container and it had 16.5 tons of cocaine in it, I'm closing the fuck out of that container.
I saw nothing.
Nigga, I've seen Daredevil. Okay.
You'll get fucked. I saw nothing. I would actually quit that day. You know what? I quit. I quit.
It's not like if it was like some like human trafficking or something, then okay. Hey, there's some people in this container. What the fuck? But nigga, if cocaine, that's above my pay grade. That's above me, as that one homophobic dude said, transphobic dude said. Fuck that.
That would be my last day. I wouldn't even tell nobody. I just politely walk out, clock out, and drive away. They'd be like, we've never seen Karen again, bitch. No.
What was in the container? Nothing. Ain't like nothing to me, and bro.
Nothing. I saw nothing.
Looked like it wasn't my business. That's what it looked like. It looked like something that wasn't my business, to be honest with you. Y'all can go look if y'all want to. Just keep my name off the report.
I saw nothing, sir.
Mm-mm.
My name is Benny, and I'm not talking to nobody. I saw nothing. Mm-mm.
Nope. That's how you get killed.
Right. That's how you get killed.
Every movie starts the same way. Oh man. Must be a huge organized crime type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, nope.
Like I said, and it's one of those things where you need to quit immediately, because if anybody knows that you've seen it, you're gonna be lumped in with everybody else. I'm good.
Anyone with that much money absolutely will kill you for that much cocaine.
Oh, you as good as dead. They'd be like, well, in the video, we just saw her open the door and shut it. That's right, bitch. And I went home. I actually quit that day. It was my last day of working.
You think your $30,000 salary gonna stop them from killing your ass?
No!
Like, that's just a cost of business, fam.
You fucking open up your door and they'll be looking at you.
That's the kind of shit where you tell a cop, like in a movie, like, yo, this is the cocaine, this is where it's at. And then you turn around and the cop is pointing his gun at you. Like that scene in the movie where you turn around, like, yeah, the cocaine right through here, man. I came to you first to report it because I was like, something's up. And they be like, oh, I wish you hadn't seen that, Rod. I'm like, but Officer McCoy, you came to my daughter's christening. It's like, I'll make sure to take care of your family. But I can't let you get out of here with this 16.5 tons of cocaine, homie. You gotta die.
Mm-mm, not me. I'm like, wow. It was crazy to me too, dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Karen, you quit just in time. I know, right?
I close that shit like if you accidentally see your parents naked when you're a kid, how you just close the door like, oh shit. Like, I don't know what, I didn't see nothing. Okay.
I walked in that room by accident.
Right. I'm scared. You scared. This never happened. We never speak of this again.
Never this speak shit. Of this again.
Cocaine, 16. If I found like 16 pounds of cocaine like on my doorstep, I'd be like, I'm just throwing this in the bushes. I don't know what happened. Like, if someone come looking for cocaine, I'd be like, it's in the bushes, man. I didn't touch nothing. Please, I have nothing to do with this.
Mm-mm.
Fuck that. All right,
16 shit a motherfucking ounce. I would be like, no, bitch. Right. So you talking about some real weight?
All right, let's go to the game. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking the black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. Fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, find and see if we're fucked with, and we give them scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, with the highest being Dracarys for how much we feel fucked with as black people. All right, today's contestants, everybody. Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay have joined forces to save America's racist jokes. Oh! Yep. In the year of our Lord 2019, comedy is under siege. PC police and Twitter account wielding SJWs patrol Laugh Factory after Laugh Factory, hunting for the brave comedians who refuse to reject comedy's time-honored tradition of reducing ethnic groups to stereotypes and or joking about rape. Thankfully, heroes walk among us, chiefly Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay, who are teaming up for a comedy tour. A tour? I feel like, I understand these are veteran comedians, I've never done stand-up, but as a fan of stand-up, it feels like this is the new thing for the unfunny comedian. Like,
right.
Like if you
non-creative.
Can't, like if you can't be funny, be racist. And there's a lot of these guys who are doing this because it's so appealing, because white people are so fucking gullible, and especially white dudes, they will pay money to just have someone espouse racist views. Like, they don't, it doesn't really have to be funny.
Mm-mm.
Not that there's no funny racism or whatever. Like, I know there's people that say shit like that hard line, like nothing's funny. That I don't agree with that. There's a bunch of shit that I laugh at that I like. This is not actually funny if it happened in real life, but in the auspices of a comedic license, I'm not offended or whatever.
Right.
But, man, it seemed like this the new thing. It's like they, everybody has a word to fucking, like, lionize themselves now in the age of the internet, especially. Like, everyone has been studying game, and now you get to be like, I'm the brave warrior comedian. I tell the truth. I'm not afraid to make these jokes. As if racist jokes aren't the default. Like, that's what's so crazy. It's like, we got, like, if you look at the history of America, right, and what people considered funny, what was considered within the realms of, you can laugh at this. Laughing at people who are not white has been the shit until about, like, the Civil Rights Movement, when people were like, yeah, you gotta stop that. We actually are people too and have feelings, and you can't just keep making these jokes.
Yeah, it was the jam forever.
Yeah, but it's funny, right, how that, and so then the polarity flipped to like, okay, the brave people are the people that are calling out the system, the people that are, you know, talking about our hypocrisy, that are going at society, and they go, comedians are these like truth teller philosophers, and you lionize these people, and we name all these greats, you know, Richard Pryor and fucking like just all these names, like motherfuckers used to get arrested behind this comedy, it was that real, you know, it's like that. And then somewhere along the line, when all these, like, once you got some black comedians that were good, a few women comedians that people thought were good, all of a sudden it was like, well, isn't the real problem women and black people and people that aren't white men? Isn't that the real problem with comedy? Not enough white men getting away with saying whatever they want to say. Our voices are too marginalized. We don't get to give the white man's point of view enough today. And it's like, that's never been true.
Never been true. You all sound generic a lot of times.
Like, we don't have enough racist comedians out there. That's the real fucking problem. It's like, no, that's not true. And the reason that, because people go, well, it's just about what I find funny, right? It's not me saying I agree with this. It's just me getting on stage saying something funny. And I'm always kind of blown by that, because I know it's an extreme example, but I need people to understand, for this example, take your preconceived notions out of your head. You're a machine. You're a robot now, right? We're just calculating funny. And they go, I hold no prisoners. I hold no punches. I take no prisoners. I say the truth. I say what I find to be funny as I feel it. I don't give a fuck. Right? That's what comedians say. All the offensive ones always say that, right? Where are your jokes about the cops who get killed by people? Where are your jokes about, like, the kids who get shot in schools and shit like that? Like, they don't really want to do that type of material. Like, they might edge around, like, the topic, but they will never make the topic, ha ha, it's funny this cop got killed. Ha ha, it's funny this American soldier got killed. Ha ha, it's funny that an innocent child was shot at a school. Isn't it hilarious, y'all? And they're not gonna make that shit funny because it's not actually funny, and it is offensive. It actually will offend all the fucking white privileged people that are coming to your show giving you money. That's the shit that will make them mad. Like, picking on Trump don't mean shit.
Nope.
But picking on, like, their sacred cows, that kind of shit, they don't like that shit. And yo, and there's a reason you don't make those jokes. Now, if you gotta, now they will trot out a joke about black people getting shot by police and Black Lives Matter and all this shit, cause those white people will laugh at that. It's not necessarily that it's funny or not, it's just the lowest rung of, it's Bill Maher in reverse. Everyone's just laughing cause they already agree with your bigotry. You know, the same way that I don't think Bill Maher is very funny in the stand up, but everybody agree with him in the room, so they laughing. They clapping. It's all, oh great, he said it, you know. But it's like, did he really hit you with a punchline you didn't see coming?
Mm-mm.
You know, that kind of shit. So yeah, this way of framing it as we're the real American, like, brave soldiers and shit, like, I hate this shit. And everybody needs to stop. You're not brave for being a misogynist. You're not brave for being homophobic. You're not brave for being racist. You're not brave for being transphobic. You're not brave for this. This is the standard in our society. You're just reiterating what society already has been doing to people. And I'm not gonna fucking clap for it. I don't give a fuck if you're my favorite comedian. You know, I fuck with Dave Chappelle, but like, some of his transphobic joke shit, like, it wasn't that funny to me. Anyone could have made those jokes, and it's beneath his talent level, because he has a way of making jokes. And I'm not talking about being politically correct. He just has a way of making jokes that even when they're not politically correct, it's like, wow, he saw an angle on that joke nobody saw. And the transphobic shit, when it's just the base level of like, this dude got this is a dude, or this woman got a dick, it's not actually like blowing anyone's mind.
Mm-mm.
It's like, look at me, I'm brave enough to say it, you know, I can do it. Y'all didn't think I would do it, huh? It's like, that's not the joke. Like, anyone get on stage and take a shit? Like, get the fuck out of here. Where's the joke, though? So, fuck both of these niggas.
Agreed.
And Dracarys to this whole tour, man. And I really was, I actually was a Andrew Dice Clay fan back in the day.
Me too.
I used to have, like, his CD and listen to it at work on my headphones, and I would be cracking the fuck up because he's just so ridiculous. But I mean, the idea that this dude like is now gonna go be a racist goomba ass nigga, it's not surprising. I mean, it's not like his material was so like fucking progressive or woke or anything. It's just, you just kind of hope, for me anyway, as a fan of these comedians, not these two, but of comedians in general.
Mm-hmm.
I just be hoping like they don't give into the temptation of pulling the like, I'm telling it like it is as a white man. Like, dude, that's the lowest rung. You're literally putting the game on easy and then going out there and just saying anything. And like I said, and I'm not one of these people that's just like, I won't laugh at anything, you make my feelings hurt. Like, I'm not even that person. Mm-hmm. But some of this shit is just more like, you let the game down. It's not about letting me down. My political views, I don't give a fuck about that. I laugh at shit that's not my political views. You're letting the game down. You refuse to get better. You know? That, you're gonna go to a room of people that just bought tickets so they could be like, I was in the racist room.
Agreed.
So, yeah, he said, America really needs to lighten up and not worry about the words comedians use because it's all we have. There's clean stuff and there's street stuff. I'm a street guy because I tell it like it is. And then of course, you know, we all know our Roseanne Barr fucking,
she's trying to bring her career back.
Right.
I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white! Fuck!
Mm-hmm, right. Because they renewed Roseanne without her.
Right. And, you know, you gotta go a long way to excuse that shit for her too, because even if you believe that one specific example, she thought Valerie Jarrett was white, she had been calling other black women monkeys and shit too online. Like, she been saying real sketchy and fucked up shit about black people for a minute. So it's not even a, it's like people want to give her an excuse because I don't know, they like her, they grew up on Roseanne, I grew up on Roseanne, but this shit, like, this, to me, this is what happened when you make these excuses. It's like, now she's just like, I'm going to do a racist comedy tour.
Yes, that's,
and it's like, that's why the fuck you don't excuse it. That's why you shouldn't be out here like, well, think about it, maybe she really did believe that, but like, no, she just racist. That's it, that's the joke. Ha, joke's on you.
That's the joke.
Anyway, Jakaris, Karen,
same.
Let's see what else is happening. A film about a black congregation taking in a KKK member is set to be released in November. Forest Whitaker and Usher are set to star in it.
Okay, that's what y'all want to do. I can't stop you.
Oh man.
No.
Man,
I won't be going to watch that, and y'all gonna get roasted online.
Yeah, the thing for me is like, fucking Shadow and Act has to be like going, they're charging up like Goku in Dragon Ball Z right now.
Y'all did the work for them.
Like, November is about to be a problem for this movie, cause they are about to be, they are just somewhere going, ah, like turning different shades of colors and hair growing different length, because it's no fucking way they are gonna be okay with this movie. Mm-mm. It's based on a true story about an orphan named Mike Burden who was raised by the KKK in the South in the 1990s. Oh, it's not even an old story. He follows his journey to lead the organization behind. The congregation of a black church takes him in and helps him escape the wrath of the KKK. Child.
I understand. It's a story that somebody was like, we need to tell it. That's cool.
Oh, that is true. That's even worse. You know, they're gonna go find all the black people from this church and be like, now which of y'all just grown up? Because Shadow Knack wants to interview all y'all 17 times. According to Shadow Knack, Whitaker will portray Reverend Kennedy, an African-American pastor who takes in Burden once the Klan pursues him. Usher portrays a character named Clarence Brooks. The script was written by Andrew Heckler, who also directed, written by him, who also directed the film. Even though it was written over 20 years ago, unfortunately, Burden is more timely than ever. Now, in a time when the world has become so polarized, divided by ethnicity, race, and religion, Burden can deliver a powerful message on how extremes can join together to overcome and resolve our differences of hatred through love and tolerance. Said Heckler to the Hollywood Reporter. Is he white, I wonder? Mm-hmm. Sound like a white name, right? Let me see if I can Google his picture real quick. And he's a white. That's white. Oh, they got the trailer in here. You want to watch the trailer with me?
I guess so. Let's do it. May as well.
The movie's gonna be called Burden, and this is a clip. Oh my god, I cannot believe they are making this movie. I mean, the same year as Best of Enemies, man. Like, y'all really going there, huh? After Green Book, just, I guess it's too late after Green Book. Like,
978 for all that.
Oh, it's a clip.
That when I bought it.
I'm getting some from the shop. It's all kinds of stuff on all day.
I don't know. You really want to take Franklin fishing, huh?
Yeah.
Where do y'all go fishing
at? Oh, there at Mike Creek Lane. You can't go down there now, though.
What was that?
All the niggas done taking over the neck of the woods.
Niggas?
Oh, come on, I'm a Klansman.
What, are you gonna drive all the blacks out of Lawrence?
I don't know.
I said I did all we. We still be white trash, but no one will step on to make us feel better.
Oh, so that's the okay, so that's the typical white woman role in the film that's not down with the racism, even though she is in love with the Klan man. That's becoming a cliche role right now.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I liked about that Spike Lee movie. That woman was all in.
She was down. She was like, I hate the niggers too. Okay.
Yep.
Have you thought about this idea with the niggers? Like, she was trying to help.
Blowing up shit, she was like, oh, I am 100% in.
Now, if you go down there shooting, before you can really get close to the niggas. You only get one or two.
Come on.
You gotta get right up in there.
Come on. She was like, ride or die, hee haw.
Anybody else want a scone? But yeah, this is gonna be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Like, I won't be watching it.
I can't wait to see Forrest Whitaker forgiving this man, because you know that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, son, God doesn't see your color or some bullshit. Just, oh my God. This is such a bad idea. Then when he goes back to the Klan, Forrest Whitaker gonna be mad.
I wonder what he's gonna do today. I wonder what he's gonna do tomorrow. This guy's just pissing. He's pissing all over us. He's pissing on you. What does it taste like? Chief, what does it taste like? Because you know what? It tastes like piss to me.
It's coming in 2019. Oh, wait. 0 to 100.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, that's what the game is.
I'm not really fuck with a zero, because I just don't care.
I would give it a at least a 75. Like that, more for the headache that is going to be online when every nigga in the world.
Oh, from their perspective, it's going to be 100. But for me personally, I'm not watching it, and I don't care. So
I know. Well, I was only asking for your perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving. I'm talking about my perspective now. It's my turn.
Go ahead.
You had your turn.
Oh my. Oh.
75.
Ooh, excuse me.
And now, actually 100, because you just did exactly what I'm talking about. Every nigga in the world is gonna have a hot take and dunk on this movie in November.
Yes,
and it's gonna be annoying as fuck. I'm not watching it. Shadow and Act, I'm gonna share this piece 75,000 times. Like, we get it. We are tired of black people forgiving this movies with racism. I agree with you. You are absolutely right. Okay? But I don't need to see it a million times. Y'all make the movie go more viral than when the fucking Green Book, I'm pretty sure, won that Oscar because all the niggas had it in their hearts against the movie, and they helped white people. White people was like, we picked this one.
Right.
Like, good grief. I know this shit gonna happen. Burden. Forrest, why? Usher in it. I know this shit gonna go double wood. Nobody gonna watch it.
It's not going straight to Netflix, going to movie theaters.
Going to theaters, supposedly. I'm not watching this shit either.
Yep.
It just looked bad. Maybe if I see a better trailer or something. I just can't see.
Not based off of that trailer, no.
Yeah. Like, I might go in there and laugh, but, you know, that's very inappropriate, but that's what I do, y'all.
Like, why is he in the front row laughing?
I'll be up in the race movies laughing like shit, man. I know I ain't supposed to, but man, you gotta laugh at how stupid Hollywood.
Is it gonna be like how me and you was when the first time we seen the Planet of the Apes in a white movie theater? We were cheering for the apes and everybody was fucking confused.
Maybe. I mean, that's not what I be laughing at in these movies. I just be laughing at how stupid some of these scenes are. Or these like awkward ass, like when the actors says like nigger to a black person or something, you're just like, what the fuck was the point of this movie? You know, like, why did y'all think this would help? Like, this the message America need to see. Like, no, we don't. It's actually not a timely movie. It actually, what America needs right now is not to forgive racist white people. It's not what we need. It's never what we needed. It's never worked. Y'all have already done it many times. It has never stopped anything. Being nice to racist white people is not gonna change shit. You can't forgive them unless they change anyway. And if they change, then your forgiveness is not something that they have to have. You can do it, but it's not, we're not obligated to do it.
That's
and everybody knows it. Yeah, sorry.
No, I said agreed, not obligated.
Yeah, everybody knows it, but we keep getting these fucking stupid ass movies by white dudes who keep thinking this is an important fucking story. You know, it's Green Book too. It's fucking, you know, it's all this shit. And this Green Book without the firepower, the acting, like, I never heard of this white man.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, last story. Charlotte's leading black woman entrepreneurs are leaving the city. No home for me here.
That's not good. Gentrification?
Coming in 2019, it would appear Charlotte was a top spot in the country for black business leaders to thrive. In the 14,000 black owned businesses in Charlotte reported in the recent U.S. census data meant the city's growth rate in that area was at 35%. A recent Forbes report ranked Charlotte number 6 in the country for African American prosperity based on median household income, home ownership rate, population growth, and the percentage of people who are self-employed. In 2018, the city hosted the 23rd annual Black Entrepreneur Summit, touted as the most successful one ever by its leaders. The summit would return to Charlotte on June 19th, rebranded as FWD, pronounced forward, with a new focus on tech-driven businesses.
That was last week.
Yeah, they didn't invite us. I got a tech-driven business. With all this progress on paper, why is it so hard for many entrepreneurial black women to feel at home in our city? In January 2018, local black-owned tech incubator Black Tech, BLK Tech Interactive, opened a 1,200 square foot office space in Camp North End to much fanfare. Mayor Vi Lyles was on hand to help celebrate the occasion. The national publications picked up the story, praising the work Black Tech founder Cheryl Dorsey had done since launch in 2016. However, about a year later, Black Tech Charlotte was forced to shut down its physical space and cut back on its work in the field due to a lack of capital support. Now, after Dorsey has been hailed by the city officials, local business leaders, and national press as an example of what's possible for Charlotte's future, her own future in our city is unclear.
Right, because then that makes sense. Well, then people got to invest in me too now.
Right. Because unlike a lot of these like tech bros and shit, like venture capitalist and stuff don't like investing in black stuff. I recently spoke with Dorsey about her experience and why she believes her company wasn't able to thrive in Charlotte despite its momentum and measurable results. Her goal with Black Tech Interactive was to create a space for young black professionals who were excited about tech and wanted to pursue that interest. Members had the opportunity to expand their portfolio and connect with like-minded individuals in the industry. In 2016, Black Tech launched the, I guess, HYGGE HIG co-working space. The intention was to create a community and serve a need while building an exciting environment for black leaders. There was an outpouring of interest among their targeted group and beyond. Over the last 3 years, Black Tech placed more than 24 high school students in tech programs, hosted events that reached more than 2,100 area residents, and created job opportunities for numerous people of color in the tech space. So, I mean, that's all good.
Big things.
Yeah. We brought attention to Charlotte in a way that specifically invested in inclusion. People in the community needed an on-ramp to jobs in tech. We provided a means for a middle-class demographic of people to feel excited about tech. However, as Dorsey explains, the steps were more like chains and the latter was nothing more than a modern day minstrel show. What? We were asked to tap dance for survival, Dorsey wrote in a Twitter thread in May, explaining her reasons for closing down the space and reconfiguring the operational strategy. They would give $5,000 for something that required a six-figure budget. They didn't see our company as an investment.
Right.
Right. It's like charity.
Had to beg and plead.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all be throwing money at shit that will, and a lot of it fucking flops. If it's white, you don't care. You just throw money at it.
Yep. Most black owned businesses in America, 95% of them are sole proprietorships. Mm-hmm. And many of those are funded by friends, family members, or crowdsourcing campaigns.
Right. Because we don't get the access to the banks. We don't get the access to the loans. If we do, it's very, very little.
According to Dingell, black owned startups are 3 times less likely to be approved for a business loan than white owned startups. The individuals making the decisions are older white men, Dorsey explains. He's the editor-in-chief at, no, not Dorsey, who's Dorsey? She's Dorsey, okay, yeah. She said their networks are limited, they've never been entrepreneurs, and they're tone deaf to entrepreneurship. She believes a lack of representation at higher levels trickled down through the city, which in turn prevented Black Tech from reaching its full potential. Definitely understand that. With us, we only got offered business loans after we already had established that we had a base of users that were giving us money.
Right. And then everybody was like, you want a loan?
Yeah. It's like, what am I going to do with the loan now? I got it. You know, I mean, I guess if we want to expand or something, but we don't have like a brick and mortar situation. Mm-mm. The only thing we might potentially would take a loan out for is stuff like another live show or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, but essentially, you know, that avenue was there for us only after we proved we, you know, like there was no initial like, oh, I like to take out a business loan to start my podcasting business. They would have laughed at us.
Yeah, and it was funny, particularly what we do is really revolutionary, because even the tax people, nobody knows how to handle it, you know, nobody knows what to do, you know. Initially, you know, it was a sole proprietorship, and then it was like, well, oh, you got to the point where we can make it an LLC. Well, we asked for that from the beginning. What the fuck?
Yeah. Now they did make it seem like it was more on Charlotte as a whole, but I don't know that this is 100% a Charlotte thing. It seemed like it's a black thing, no matter what city you're in.
Yeah, like she said, you go and you basically you do business proposals a lot of times. So you do all this work and put, and they, like she say, something that costs $200,000, they want to five, what the fuck am I supposed to with $5,000? Where am I supposed to come up with this difference?
Yeah, and then she also goes into something I think is really deep with black enterprises like this. The assumption from most white people, even the ones who are nice and want to give money, is that it's a charity, that it's a non-profit type of thing, because they see us as charity cases. They don't see us as investments. Like, I'm gonna give you money and expect to make money off of it because you're gonna be good at what you do, you know. Like, when you look at Elizabeth Holmes, who was a complete scammer, how much money did she get from people who claimed, I expect to make money back on what I'm giving her, you know? And then when it comes to black orgs, it's, I'm gonna give you $5,000 because I'm not expecting to get any of this back, and I'm just doing you a favor. She says, not once did a heavy hitter with venture capital assume that they were a for-profit organization. They say Caucasian men with money assumed that it was like a something geared towards low-income people. You know, which is something I want to get to. Not every organization, and especially if it's black, has to be about the poor.
No, it doesn't.
I'm not saying there should be none. I think most should focus on that.
Correct.
But if your thing is like, I'm focusing on middle class black people need help too.
Yes, they do.
They still have a 1/20th the wealth of white people in America that are similarly middle class. So it's not like by helping those people you're helping, like, you know, like those niggas don't need no help. Like, they still need help. But the point being, white people even see that group of people as just black poor people. Like, oh, so you go into the ghetto and getting them off of West Boulevard? Like, okay, not everybody here is from the projects or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, and that's not to knock the projects, but like, no, we're trying, like, we're not asking for charity, we're asking for investment. And they're like, oh, I thought this was a give to the poor thing.
Right.
I saw black, thought poor.
That's technically what they're saying.
Yep. Assuming that we are nonprofits is racist. Women consider the mule of the world. We have to beg for sustainability. The nonprofit industrial sector is saturated in Charlotte. Everything is about charity and the at-risk demographic, with the media, which the media uses to strip people of their humanity. They don't look at black and brown people as investments. Yeah, to test this theory, I ventured over to a popular news site, searched top black businesses in Charlotte. The results are interesting. Before even finding an article with valuable content, I came around countless ones referring to homicides. Words like poverty, low income, gentrification dominated the themes pertaining to African American voice in Charlotte. I found one report that shed a positive light on black businesses in Charlotte. The experience stuck with me. I began to look at words differently, words that I had grown numb to. I questioned everything. Why are the only black owned businesses in the city limited to restaurant or beauty industries?
Come on!
When was the last time you saw a black run law firm, a black doctor's office, a black owned investor company portrayed in the news? Charlotte loves poverty stories. They love to push gentrification or sad stories in the news and media outlets. Nobody has seen black people in any other context other than a repressed story, Dorsey said. That narrative doesn't push us to solve problems. People celebrate mediocrity. We want to give ourselves a hand clap for doing basic things. When people aren't challenged, you'll continue to stay the same. Unfortunately, the inherent bias Dorsey experienced in Charlotte wasn't limited to just hers. Also prevented plenty of Charlotte-based businesses from gaining the recognition they deserve. Color Stock, a stock photo portfolio that focused on inclusivity and diversity, was launched by Charlotte entrepreneur Jennifer Daniels in 2015. The company didn't survive for many of the same reasons that it was needed in the first place. I was building a business that highlighted the lack of diversity in a city that didn't even realize we were on the cusp of an uprising. Yeah, because in Charlotte we had that shooting and then bam. It's crazy. I mean, the article goes on longer and longer, yeah,
and that's bigger than the Charlotte problem. That's an American problem,
right? But yeah, I don't know, man. And then it talks about other cities having better, you know, results. Other cities across America have fellowship programs and investment dollars specifically tied to human capital. Daniel said, I never even heard the term human capital mentioned in any conversation I had in Charlotte when I lived there for 9 years. In addition to losing business owners, Charlotte is also struggling to keep political voices in. Yep. Like, that's the thing. People hear Charlotte and they just go, oh yeah, black people is great. And it's like, there's still a bunch of class divisions, a bunch of money divisions, like among opportunity, like, you know, there's like the bank people and then there's like other like people, like you work downtown or do you like where are you doing? There's Ballantyne and there's other parts of town. It's not all just like black people looking like a fucking Eddie Murphy 90s movie. Mm-mm. You know, anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
I would give this a 100.
All right. Yeah, I give it 100, man. It's just frustrating, you mm-hmm. know, as a black person to be like, and then also, you know, from her quotes, I know there's probably some people that feel a little bit, and you can read the whole article too. I think it's called, oh, I forgot what the site was. Give me 1 second. I'll go back to the site, but, yeah, you can read the article yourself if you guys want to see what it was called. What the fuck was it called? QCNerve.com. QCNerve.com. Charlotte's leading black woman entrepreneurs are leaving the city. No home for me here. There is some like I can see people feeling a way like, is there some elitism to how she's talking? Cause she was saying some things about like black people not being challenged and it sounded like she just didn't want to be associated almost with the idea of like, this is not about poor people. This is not charity. This is not about, you know, like y'all not challenging us and that's why people not doing good and stuff. So, you know, I don't know this woman. Maybe a deeper look at her and it'll be like, well, this is a little bit elitist too. But I mean, I kind of understand the point of not everything is about a charity case. And if people only look at it as a charity case, we don't talk about how people don't invest in poor. You give to the poor. You don't invest in the poor for a lot of people. They don't see people. When they see black, they think poor. And when they see poor, they think give. They don't think invest. So I think that's a huge denotation, in difference there. So yeah, 100. All right, let's go to Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-doop-boop. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right, y'all ready to get this show on the road?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into our first story. A Ring video, the, you know, Ring doorbell,
mm-hmm.
shows a stranger poop in a Florida man's driveway. Mm. Or as Florida people call it, the bathroom.
So I'm looking for someone.
Wait, what? Why just start over?
I was literally born for this.
We don't care what you was born for, baby.
I gotta wait for Jack in the Box to finish talking. Oh, they got new spicy chicken strips. Well, good for them.
Yeah, some people call it a crack in a box.
I know.
Shout out to What's the
when
Tea.
When it comes on.
Shout out to What's the Tea. What's the tea?
You'll have to go.
What's in the tea?
Wilton Thomas is trying to be understanding, but you can imagine his frustration when he saw this on his home surveillance cameras.
I'm waiting for the article to start, but there's a man on his driveway, getting out of a green car, taking his shirt off, and shitting in the driveway of another man's house.
And do what you want to do there.
I don't know why the video is acting stupid.
Thomas says it was around 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon.
There's like a whole news article story here, and it's not playing anymore. But they show like a black man that this happened to, not the one.
And then stooped down.
What is happening? Like, it was a black dude whose house it was. God damn it.
The party pooper drives off.
Well, you know what, guys? Fuck this article. There you go. The guy was white, that shit in his yard. That was terrible. I don't know what happened on that one. ABC7.com, you let me down, buddy. You let us all down. All right, let's go to a different story. Deputies A man jumped over Lehigh Acres Canal in a car, Dukes of Hazzard style, before crashing. Just a good old boy.
Oh!
Never mean no harm.
Watch out now!
Did he slide across the hood and jump in the window? A man was arrested for a hit and run crash involving some Hollywood level elements. Lee County deputies arrested 35-year-old Robert Foley Wednesday. Deputies say he crashed into an abandoned truck on 21st Street South in Lehigh Acres and then ran off. Based on the tire marks, deputies say Foley was driving westbound on 21st Street Southwest towards a large ditch. That is when an arrest report shows, based on the physical evidence, it was apparent the Nissan Versa was traveling at such great speed that it vaulted airborne and cleared the water canal slash ditch in a fashion only to be described as similar to what is depicted in Dukes of Hazzard.
Good God, they were moving. A Nissan got some hops. You were flying, dog.
A Nissan Versa, dog. That's your car.
I'm about to say you were getting it.
Like you,
I'm
broke.
Riding around. I'm getting it.
I think you broke the suspension in that just regular driving.
Right.
This motherfucker is jumping over canals. What
canals, dog?
From there, deputy said the car kept going to a
try smash. To catch me, coppers.
He's all you ever saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born. Making the way.
Yeah.
The only way they know how. This motherfucker, dog. What? From there, Debbie said the car kept going until it smashed to a parked truck. Yeah, because a Nissan Versa is not designed to fucking jump
it
a pit.
No race car.
And keep going. It's like, well, I'll go, but it's not going where you think it's supposed to go.
I'm surprised when he landed, fucking wheels and fucking pop off. That right. Car's not made for this much, that much action.
Right. Oh my God.
That car's like, I'm small, I save you gas, you're gonna get to your destination, but I'm not a motherfucking sports car.
Right. There's no part of any commercial with a Nissan Versa that shows it leaving
it's flying.
The ground. Like, remember that part of the commercial where it left the ground? No, because it didn't happen.
No, it's meant to stay on the ground.
No one has ever left the ground in a Nissan Versa on purpose. You can't take a speed bump too hard in a Nissan Versa.
You better not!
This motherfucker tried.
Oh, your suspension's going to be going. I learned the hard way.
Oh, man. Helicopters use the search
for like, what the fuck you think you're doing?
Lee County Sheriff's deputies arrested Robert Foley.
Oh, it keeps pausing. I was waiting. I'll try to let it do some build up in the background, but it just keeps pausing. All right, I'll just finish reading. It's very short. Helicopters were used to search for Foley after the crash. When deputies found him, they say he appeared to be in pain and smelled of alcohol.
I bet he was in pain
because he hit the motherfucking, he hit that Nissan Versa suspension when he hit the ground. That shit said, oh, it's not supposed to do this.
What you doing, baby? What you doing?
This ain't the General Lee, motherfucker. This is not what it was about.
This is not a stunt car.
Right. You don't got no stunt men. You not no helmets. He was taken to the hospital before going to jail. Guess the race of Robert Foley.
It was alcohol, some max alcohol, meant for alcohol, and everybody white.
Karen says white. Let's check the chat room. Confederate flag painted on the roof of the Versa. The General Sherman. I don't know what they would call the General Lee. the General Forrest. White says male. Miraculous Mayo White. White as Air Force Ones. Getting a lot of white in this white. So everybody's going white, it appears. Whites are added again.
I'm about to say, you got a nigga
Sheriff
out here
Deputy,
doing this
huh?
stuff. I'm about to say, you got a nigga out here doing this stuff. I'm willing to be wrong.
Sheriff Deputy slammed his hat as the verse.
Yes!
Roscoe P. Coltrane was out there slamming hats, slamming sandwiches.
Like I said, he said it, clean that ditch. It was like, God darn it.
He had a deputy that was like, go, oh no, they got away again, boss. What we gonna do? A fucking banjos playing in the background. The hooch got us lit white. I'm gonna say black, says June. Wow. Okay, June, going off the board here. The correct answer is, and everybody who said white got it wrong, he was black.
What? What?
And only June, using her sage Negro wisdom, was able to get it correct. Golf clap. She went against the grain, and she's the only one who got it right.
The only one.
A black man did that shit. Ain't that something?
Tan up that versa.
Mm-hmm.
That versa going to go to the shop.
Making a way the only way he knew how. Oh, you know who I blame for this? Lil Nas X.
Ah! going down that old time road.
Oklahoma woman was arrested for arson after getting caught by her own surveillance camera.
Ah! You forgot your own camera was on? I bet you that happened all the time with people in their, like, in-home alarm systems. You know, that shit's on all the time.
Investigators say an Oklahoma woman who torched an abandoned house next door to her was ultimately burned by her own home security system. Annie Durham, 59, was arrested by the Dale City Fire investigators and charged with second-degree arson charges after authorities say she intentionally set fire to her neighbor's already condemned home on June 10th. The key evidence, surveillance footage from her password-protected outdoor camera that she'd given officials permission to look at. She caught herself on camera setting the fire. Said fire department chief Brandon Purcell.
She forgot who the camera up there.
Grand opening, grand closing. The fire department received several 911 calls around 2:45 p.m. reporting a house on fire on the 2000 block of Becker Place. Once at the scene, firefighters observed a single story residence with a significant fire coming from the garage. Rescue teams confirmed the house was condemned, and once the fire was controlled from the outside, firefighters advanced to the structure to check for possible victims. No one was injured in the fire, but investigators were called to look into the cause since the home was condemned. During the investigation, authorities learned about an ongoing conflict between the owner of the condemned home, where vagrants and drug users had allegedly been crashing, and the next door neighbor. Investigators reportedly noticed a surveillance camera pointed directly at the area where the fire started, but it was password protected. Durham gave authorities permission to view the footage. They say the surveillance footage showed Durham tossing the object lit on fire into the window of the condemned home. Regardless of the extent of a conflict, arson is never a solution to resolve a conflict, said the police chief. Durham was booked and faces second-degree arson charges. Guess the race of Annie Durham, Karen.
Annie's black.
Karen says black. Got fed up with the trap house, huh?
Let's check
the chat room. Trusting authorities implicitly equal white, an older white lady who got no satisfaction from Apple Care, so she took matters to her own hands. White, black, and is you okay? Black. The correct, property owner equal white. The correct answer is, and Karen went with black, so did a lot of you guys. So a lot of y'all went white though. And the answer is black.
Yeah, that sound like an old black woman that got tired of that.
Mm-hmm. I knew that would speak to your spirit. I knew you saw through that one. Some people got it wrong.
And another reason why I figured out she was black, because she forgot there was security camera there, knowing her baby or her nieces, and somebody was put that camera up for her and she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like she literally forgot it was there. So I was like an old black woman.
I wonder if she gave him the password because she didn't give a damn.
She didn't care.
She was like, you know what, fuck it.
And you know what, she probably had to go look in a book. What did my nephew say that passcode is? You know she had to go find it.
Right. All right, let's go to the bonus round, Karen.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race. The bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if she can make it in the bonus round when everything's on the line.
I'm hoping I can.
All right. You're a trooper. No, that's what I like about you. You constantly get something wrong on here, but you never give up.
Nope, never.
Winona bar robbery goes south when patrons realize the gun is actually an air freshener.
What?
It was July last
year. Reason?
It was July last year, shortly after midnight. A bartender at Steiny's Bar in Winona had just finished cashing out the pool tab money for the night. She stepped outside with a few others for a smoke. That's when two men wearing all black walked up. Their faces were covered in bandanas and ski masks. One of them had his hand hidden inside a paper bag. He raised it towards the bartender. He couldn't tell what he was holding, but she got the sinking impression that it was a gun. The man told her to stand up. They were going back inside. The other masked man wasted no time grabbing two pull tab boxes from the counter. All signs pointed to a clean, quick armed robbery, but according to a warrant filed in Winona County District Court, it was about to take a turn. One of the men dropped a pull tab box. Maybe that made the patrons a little bolder, because one of the witnesses chose that moment to get in the masked man's face and confront him, causing him to drop the other box. That's when another patron joined in the fray and tried to grab the man's mask to reveal his face. The robber's partner, the one holding the bag, clapped the would-be unmasker in the head. He probably wasn't expecting a third onlooker to go for the bag, and that's when the bag went sailing out of his grasp. The bag flooded to the ground, and a single piece of black plastic came clattering out of it. It was not, as I originally thought, a gun. It was a fragment of an air freshener.
Oh, I know, they probably whooped their ass after that. That gave them the business.
This evened the odds quite a bit. A scuffle ensued, but two robbers eventually fled the bar empty-handed and unidentified, not, however, without dropping a pair of sunglasses and a cloth bag, allowing some of the assailants to size them up. Based on their builds and the feel of their hair beneath their hoods, the bartender and the witnesses and the robbers thought they might have known who it was. They thought it was 25-year-old Jaquan Bebe Hughes and 21-year-old Antonio Lil Tony Shorter. Both men had been at the bar until about 15 minutes before the robbery, and both of them were sporting dreadlocks. The DNA comparison between the sunglasses and the sample from Shorter were a match. Fingerprints were found on the air freshener piece.
I didn't know DNA got on your sunglasses. I guess you were sweating or something.
It touched your skin. Of
That's
course.
True.
That was nearly a year ago, but now the police have issued a warrant for Hughes' arrest. He's one on charge of first degree attempted robbery, aggravated attempted robbery. Shorter got his warrant on Wednesday. Nobody knows where they at currently. Karen guessed the race of, Antonio Shorter and Jaquan Hughes, mm-hmm. also known as Bebe and Lil Tony.
They rapper name is one of them little babies.
Okay. So I guess that's black.
Mm-hmm.
Check the chat room, see what they believe. Niggas, says Trey. Black, this is how Craig got fired on his day off. Black.
Oh.
Happy Juneteenth. Niggas from the hood, tar babies. First coons, black. The first coons. I was thinking, man, it's sad that black Republicans don't get their own holiday, because the rest of us got a holiday, Juneteenth. I think they mm-hmm. should get Coonteenth.
Oh no.
You know, they could celebrate it like in July. I don't know. They need something. They gotta have a potluck instead of a cookout. Jussie Smollett might think different, but them niggas got airwicked. Yeah, I guess it puts a whole nother spin on "Don't Make Me Spray This Bitch Up." The correct answer is, I mean, come on guys, y'all know what it is. Bebe and Lil Tony, like, save the suspense.
Save it.
Good grief. And they both had the nerve to have dreads. And was in there 15 minutes before the robbery. What are you, casing the place out? Don't break a brain trying to come up with this big scheme. Like, and they people knew them. So it wasn't even like they said, man, two black guys robbed us. It was like, that was Bebe and Lil Tony. They was just in here.
We know. They regulars.
Right. They probably could hear them under the mask. "Hey Jim, give me the money." "Lil Tony, is that you?" "It's not me, bitch."
I bet that that's how that conversation went. That's why they felt bold enough to confront them, going, "I know that voice.
Right, I'm gonna whoop your ass, Lil Tony. I know you ain't got no gun." Alright, let's go to Sword Ratchetness. Man, you know who's really gonna be disappointed?
Who?
Bebe Daddy. Old Bay. A man. That was so stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, they fucked around and they thought that robbery was gonna be a Febreze. I couldn't help myself, y'all. I know that's terrible.
Oh man. I guess they thought it was gonna make a clean getaway.
Yes! Clean getaway.
All right. it's a terrible podcast.
Yes, it is.
We didn't promise all the comedy would be good, guys. Mm-hmm. We just promised to help you pass your work day.
That's all we promised.
A man's facing charges after allegedly threatening victims with a sword and a knife. Guess the race white. A man, he allegedly was waving a sword and a knife, telling people to leave a home. Mitchell Kennard is 43. He's facing terroristic threats charges for his role in the incident. Happened around 10:45 p.m. May 19th. Police came because of a domestic argument. Upon arrival, police learned from a victim that Kennard had engaged in a domestic dispute in which he allegedly waved a large sword and a knife at several people inside the home. He also allegedly threatened to kill the victims if they didn't leave. Police were able to locate a 9-inch long knife, but no sword was located at the scene. Upon speaking with Kennard, he admitted that he had threatened the victims with the knife and he was taken into custody. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A sword and a knife. They couldn't even find a sword, so I wonder what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck to everybody out there that think loving these sword people is just no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting your lives on the line over what? Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Sword wielders got some good dicks. That's worth dying. Let it go, y'all.
Alright,
we'll be back Saturday for y'all freeloaders. We'll be back for my premiums, my tippers. We'll be back Thursday night with pregame and Balls Deep Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, thank you for doing the show with me, Karen.
You're welcome.
You're always a delight.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.